So yesterday we just spoke about introductory things. Let's move on to discuss some actual halachas of kashrus based on the psukim. We're going to start with what's most explicitly discussed in Chumash. So that which is most explicitly discussed, most extensively in Chumash, is different species which are kosher or non-kosher. And it breaks up into different categories, okay? Category number one is animals, mammals. So I think this is well known, but tell me, what is the definition of a kosher animal as opposed to a non-kosher animal? Let's start with the basics, yes?
Chewing its cud.
Right, so it has to have two simonim. There are two simonim kashas. One is, right, that it has split hooves. And that means that it's entirely split all the way down into two sections. And the other is that it chews its cud, which means what? That basically there's different compartments of the stomach. There's different, actually, right, so the food goes down to one, and then it gets later brought back up, re-chewed, and then it gets brought to a different part.
So if you go on a sheer field trip to the Ruff Slifkin's Museum, have you show all the different animals.
Oh, yeah? Have you been there?
Yeah,
really?
I've been there.
Recommended?
It's cool.
I mean, for Indian countries, it has like they show you all the different animals.
Okay, that's very interesting.
All the different hooves.
Okay.
I went there for a book signing.
Second field trip was
the one. Okay, yeah.
First one was really far. First one was a tour of Moscow.
Second one was closer.
Any event, it's a good idea. But these are the two simanei kashrus. Now there is an interesting discussion.
For now,
mammals. Okay, mammals. Now in Parshas Shemini, that's what the Torah says. The Torah gives us the two simanim, and the Torah lists all the animals that have only one as opposed to two. Okay.
And
I don't know if there are any others which are not listed. Not that I'm aware of.
Pig's a faker.
Pig is the faker that has the split hooves, doesn't chew its cud. And there are three others that chew its cud but don't have split hooves. Okay. In Parshas Re'eh, interestingly enough, the Torah lists the kosher mammals. So that is a little bit of an interesting presentation. Along those lines, so there is the following interesting discussion. There is a comment of the Shach. Okay, now the Shach is one of the classic commentaries on Shulchan Aruch Yoridea, which of course is Hilchos Kashrus in Yoridea, as we have discussed. The Shach is one of the classic items printed on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, and the halacha generally follows the Shach. Okay, so very, very influential posting. So he's discussing in context the difference between a behema and a chaya, because we just now gave you, we gave one category called mammals. But the truth is that there's different types of mammals. Now, there's behemos and there's chayos. Behemos are, so to speak, domesticated animals, cows, goats, sheep. And chayos are non-domesticated animals. And there are kosher non-domesticated animals like deer, giraffe, and the like. Now, what's the difference? Who cares if it's a behemoth or a chayah? Who cares, really? So, do you know of any halachos that apply to one and not the other?
Trapping.
Trapping? How so? Okay, maybe when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, you say.
Internal organs.
Okay. What's that?
Isn't the halacha for internal organs different?
How so? So, there are two main differences with regard to the halacha. One difference is that for chayos and for ophos, for fowl, for birds, there is a requirement of kisui hadam. Okay, which when you have the shechita in the yeshiva, did they discuss this?
You
cover the blood with dirt. That does not apply to a behema. It applies to a chaya and an oaf. And in addition, there is the prohibition of chaylev, certain types of fats. We'll discuss this maybe a little bit more in detail. Certain types of fats that are usher from a behema, in specific, not from a chaya. And I don't even know if they exist in an oaf. Okay, so Kisur Adam applies to the blood of a chaya and an oaf.
Oh,
okay.
Chaya is the mosquito or wild?
Wild.
Wild.
Now, what's that? Okay. In the context of defining a Behem and a Chaya, the Shach writes there are certain simonim, but basically we go by the Misora. It all goes by Misora. So what did he mean exactly? So the pre-Megadim understands that what he means is the definition of a Behem and a Chaya. How do we know what's a Behem and what's a Chaya? We have a Misora. But the Chochmas Adam, who was a, I'm sure you've heard of the Sefer Chayyad, it's written by the same person about 200 years ago. So he has a Sefer Chayyad, which is on Yonah Or Chaim, and a Sefer called Chochmas Adam, which is on Yoridei and Evin Ezer. So the Sefer Chochmas Adam, he understands the Shach to mean that you can only eat animals that we have a Mesorah for.
Yeah.
We don't go by the Simonim. It goes by Mesorah. So for Dori Doras, we've been eating cows, and we've been eating, it's Yaduah that you can eat goats and sheep. That's it. Beyond that, basically, or maybe a couple others, deer. But beyond that, we don't eat anything that we don't have Mesorah for. So this actually became a very interesting controversy and debate in the early years of the State of Israel with regard to an animal, I don't know how to pronounce it, called the Zebu. Z-E-B-U. Zebu. So this is an animal which is kind of like a cow, but it's got this whole extra, I don't know what to call it, thingy under its neck. It's classified as type of cattle. And it lives in, basically, it lives in Asia. And there was a whole move to import them to Israel, and it would be cheaper and easier and whatever. And in any event, there was a whole thing. So the Rabbanu was in favor. The Chazanish came out against it. He held, what do you mean? We don't eat Zebu. Nobody eats Zebu. We eat cows. We don't eat Zebu. So he held that Zebu is not kosher. Lemaisa, there are a lot of reasons to assume that it is kosher. Number one, because who says that the Chochmas Adam, it's very, very easy to understand the Shach as talking about, as the Prima Gadam understands him, the definition of Behem and Achai. I'm not saying a general point that you can only eat things you have Mesorah for. Okay, so number one, the Zebu has the species. It chooses its cud, it has the simonim. It chooses its cud, and it has split hooves. Number two, you can taina that it's not a separate species from a cow. And what's the definition of a different species? It's not entirely clear. In science, which science and halacha don't necessarily have to have the same definitions of species, but usually science actually is more specific about what's considered a species than halacha is. In science, the Zebu is considered to be a subcategory of cows. Now it's really its own species. So that's the second reason. And thirdly, apparently, it turns out that in Yemen, they have Zebu, and they have been eating Zebu for generations. So Lamaisa,
they still didn't do it, though.
What's that? So it's interesting that you should know, they didn't do a whole big import of Zebu at that time. However, it turns out that because the Zebu is a little bit hardier than your regular cow, so they have mixed in Zebu to regular cow herds here in Israel. And according to an article I read online by Rav Malamed, basically, if you hold that Zebu is not kosher, you can't eat beef anymore. So apparently the Minhag HaOlam is to assume that it is kosher. Which we said there's a lot of reason to assume that it is kosher. The Minhag HaOlam is to assume that it is kosher because they mixed it into all the cow species that are at least that exist here in Israel.
Why isn't deer popular in America?
Deer? It's very expensive. I think that's one good reason.
I'm saying they used to eat it all the time.
Okay.
Jews are people in general.
I don't think people ate it all the time.
Deer, mutton?
All the time?
Venison,
yeah.
Deer. They used to eat it all the time.
Okay, I don't know. Anyway, an interesting nafkamina would be, apparently I found online, there's some new species they actually found in Vietnam in 1993 that they actually didn't have anywhere else. And it has the kosher simanim, and there's definitely no Mesorah, and that would be a good test case for this, you know, the zibu has other reasons to be mekel when
really
it comes to the zibu.
Harsh,
what's that?
Probably really like not party animals.
Well, it's probably not the type of animal that, you know, they stumbled across it in the wild sections of Vietnam. I don't think it's going to be on anyone's restaurant, you know, menu anytime soon. But who knows?
Could be Vietnam.
Okay, what's that?
Could be Vietnam. We have it there.
What, you know what it's called?
Could be.
Could he go to Vietnam? What's
yeah,
it called?
I don't know what it's called.
Oh.
If you're interested, however, you can go on. I'll tell you what.
Vietnam.
There's a fellow who is a pretty big Talmud Chacham and also a professor in Bar-Ilan University named Ari Zivotofsky.
Oh, did you make that video?
And he's done a lot of... He's been in the news recently because his family basically sued the State Department of the United States and a case that went to the Supreme Court. Because the State Department, if you have a child born in Israel in Yerushalayim, so they write on the certificate of birth Jerusalem,
yeah,
and they will not write Jerusalem Israel.
Wow!
No matter where in Yerushalayim
yeah
is born, by the way, it doesn't matter. Nothing to do with over the green line or not.
Yeah.
Jerusalem, no country. So they sued the State Department because the United States government officially does recognize Yerushalayim as part of Israel, as the capital of Israel. So it reached the Supreme Court, so he's been in the news. But anyway, he has a whole bunch of articles about Inyone Kashrus, about different species. I don't remember what happened.
He
definitely, okay, I think that the Supreme Court...
they wiggled their way out of
it. I don't know. It was, last I heard it was not over, but I admit I have not been following closely. But he has done a lot of work on the issues of different simonim, different species and mesoras. So check it out. He has an article on the issue of buffalo, and he talks about the zibu also there. And Rabbi Slifkin has an article about the zibu as well. So
buffalo.
You can check that out. Okay, buffalo is kosher.
So is giraffe.
Very good. Giraffes are kosher. By the way, people, there's a widespread misconception.
You said that you don't eat it because you don't know where the chef is. It's not true.
It's not true. Apparently the giraffe, the reason people don't eat giraffe is not because we don't have shafte. You could shafte.
It's
an endangered species, so it's hard to get, and the meat's not that good anyway. So it's not worth it. That apparently is the reason people don't eat giraffe.
You shafted
on
the whole
neck.
It's the easiest end on the shaft.
Yeah.
Not the hardest.
Basically, as long as you cut the trachea and the windpipe, that's
a whole area to
so
do.
It's easy. Alrighty, let's talk about fish. Okay,
so
when it comes
it,
to...
Was behemoth and
oaf
that had chaylev, or just behemoth?
No, chaylev is usher only for behemoth. Okay, just a behemoth. Let's talk sea animals, sea creatures. So here as well, the Torah gives simonim in Parsha Shmini. What are the simonim for kosher fish?
Fins and scales.
Fins and scales.
It can't be a bottom feeder.
Now, lemaisa, anything that has scales also has fins.
So
what sharks have is not called scales.
Dorsal fins.
Okay, they don't have what's called scale. Okay, well, hold on one second. So the definition of scales. The definition of scales is that it is something that that is separate from the skin and can be removed from the skin without destroying the skin itself. Okay, that's why whatever it is that sharks have doesn't count as scales, because you cannot remove it without damaging the skin.
And if you catch it alive also.
Sturgeon, which is what real caviar is made from, there's a little bit of a dispute, but lamaisa is generally considered to be not kosher. Clearly, all other sea mammals are not kosher. Oysters, clams, shellfish, etc. They're all not kosher.
So the main ones that are kosher are tuna.
There are plenty of fish which have scales, not just tuna.
Trout, salmon.
It's just that when you go to the store, it doesn't have a shkacha. Salmon or tuna are easy to identify.
Easy to identify
without the skin still on.
Okay.
Because some places skin.
There was an interesting discussion with regard to swordfish. So swordfish apparently have scales. Right, but then as they grow, they shed the scales. So the question is, does this count as scales? And apparently they're a little bit harder to separate from the skin than regular scales. So what I have seen is that there were communities that were known to eat swordfish. Rav Unterman, who was one of the chief rabbis of Israel, was matir the swordfish. I saw this also. Rav Schechter says, in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, that he was willing to be makil on the issue of swordfish. I don't know if he ever ate it. On the other hand, Rav Tendler was of the opinion that it's a problem, and that Tzitz Eliezer actually quotes Rav Tendler, and he thinks that it's not good. I think that most kashrus organizations bismanenu will not give a hashgacha to swordfish. So, in any event, that is an interesting discussion. What's that?
Maybe we can change that. Maybe we can get the heter accepted.
Good. You have a thing for swordfish?
I don't know. Never mind. I don't know if I can eat it.
What's that?
Allergic to fish.
You're allergic to fish anyway.
But I can eat tuna. I know I can eat that.
Ah. Okay.
I know, it's weird.
I think in America, like Costco, like essentially like Costko salmon, you can't like it's not a struggle. You're allowed to find it.
There's an issue with salmon. There's a big issue with fish. Look on the Starkey website.
Okay. Very good. All right. Definitely anything processed without a hashgacha, you cannot buy.
No, it's okay. Even vegan.
It's processed.
It's different. Like this, the rabbis came. They came with like a thing in like a Long Island, like for like Costco. Or there
was it's an issue with wild salmon. And
I don't know. Yeah, I don't eat fish
versus whole.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know which specific issue you're talking about. Lemaisa, as a general clout, if you go to a fresh fish place,
no,
and
it's not fresh. It's not
like
fresh.
The fish is sitting there in front of you.
No, it's not
like
fresh.
The old time places. One second.
Frozen.
So then, Givaldic, if it's frozen, doesn't matter if you could see the fish. Givaldic. Once it's already processed. And you don't know what they did exactly, who knows, or what they cut it with. They cut it with the same knife they cut other things with. You're getting into messier territory, yeah.
So, like, you say anything that doesn't have supervision is not kosher. One of the common misconceptions that my parents had is that a vegan restaurant does not need supervision.
Right, that's not correct. Vegan. We'll hopefully talk about this later. Yeah. Okay, right now we're still at the very beginning.
The place in LA,
but you cannot assume that.
Yeah,
I
told them that it doesn't work, that there's still need supervision because there have been a number of other things that could happen if they don't serve meat.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Let's talk about oaf.
Also, vegan in America is not very strict.
Oafos, okay. Birds, so what's the halacha? Fellas, keep it over here. What's the halacha with regard to the kashrus of different types of birds? What's the halacha? What does the Torah say? Gabi.
It's just all of Shishi of Shmini. It just tells you everything. Anshvi.
Okay. So what does the Torah list for you?
It lists for you the non-kosher and 23.
It does not list for you the kosher
20
birds.
Like non-kosher, all
20
non-kosher.
It lists for you all the non-kosher birds. So Chazal point out that apparently there are more kosher birds than non-kosher. Because what are you going to list? The kosher ones or the non-kosher? You're going to list the ones that are fewer. So it lists a whole bunch of different non-kosher birds. Apparently everything else is kosher.
Yes. But there's one problem.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what those birds are.
Ah.
So we only eat the ones we know for sure are kosher.
Very good. So the truth is, there is a little bit of a discussion of this, because the Gemara, although the Torah itself does not provide simonim for kosher birds, the Gemara does provide simonim. And there is a discussion in Shulchan Aruch, can we rely on the simonim? So the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch seems to be willing to rely on the simonim. Okay, and that allows us to examine the birds and find out. On the other hand, the Ramah clearly says we only eat a bird that we have a mesorah for. Now this is very interesting, because in like Eastern Europe, they basically just had chickens and geese and ducks. That's it.
Pigeons.
And we know pigeons. No one really eats pigeons anyway. But okay,
pigeon pie.
Pigeon pie. Yeah.
Used to be a fad.
Pigeon pot pie.
Okay. Any event, I'm glad I missed that fad. But maybe just because I grew up in...
Like poor, Eastern Europeans.
Yeah. Pigeons are better used for messenger birds
rather than... The birds that are born as carbonas are also kosher now? If they still have those birds?
The only birds that are born as carbonas are doves and turtle doves, whatever that is. Okay. Fine, it's kind of like a pigeon. So, in any event, that brings us to the whole turkey situation. So I read online that the state of Israel is the number one country in the world per capita turkey consumption.
Turkey!
Which is fascinating, because if turkey was discovered... Now, turkey is a new world bird. They discovered it... Is that? I didn't know that. They discovered the turkey in America.
Thanksgiving.
So...
Turkey
muffled, okay? We need to... Relax. So that's a fascinating thing. Obviously, there was no Misora Ladori Doros going back, you know, all the way to, you know, time immemorial with regard to the turkey, because Hare, they didn't have turkey. If turkey was discovered Bismanenu, I'm sure that Ashkenazim would consider it shreif. So what's the pshat that they consider turkey kosher? How do we eat turkey? So I heard there are some people don't eat turkey, but I'm not recommending you take on this chumrah. But basically, there are two possible options as to why turkey is considered kosher. One, if it's listed in the Torah, that's not good. The Torah lists the non-kosher birds.
These are sure not good.
But some people tainted that turkeys are basically just big chickens. So that's maybe how the heter got started. It's not really a big chicken. It's like at least it seems to us to be a different than a big chicken. Now it does have all the simonim that the Gemara lists. It has all the simonim, and not only that, but as well as the physical simonim, the poskim, the sources indicate that if it can crossbreed with birds that are known to be kosher, that's a proof that it's kosher. It can do that. Lamaisa, it could very well be that simply it went where to go from the New World. It went first to Spain and Portugal. They were the ones who were exploring the New World. Where was that? That's the Sephardi communities. Could be the Ashkenazim inherited it from the Sephardim. The Sephardim took it because of the Simonim, and then the Ashkenazim took it because the Sephardim had it already. At any event, the Minhag HaOlam is that we assume it's kosher. That's what it boils down to. If you're interested, you can find interesting articles online about the turkey.
We should show the Sephardim Akasha's turkey. First, and then...
Yeah. Maybe. So Rabbi Dr. Zivotofsky also has an article about turkey, so you can check that out. So there's a fascinating discussion as follows. Here's a fascinating discussion. What about species that one community has a Masorah for and another community doesn't?
For your Masorah, your community, no?
Oh, so that's a question. Can we accept the Masorah of a different community? So certainly, if this community has a Masorah that it's no good, and that Masorah has a Masorah that's good, so then obviously they can't accept the Masorah that's kosher from the other community, because that goes against their own Masorah. Right? The question really arises when a particular community doesn't have access to a particular species. So they don't have any Masorah about it. And another community does have access. So this is a discussion amongst the poskim. There were those who claimed that you cannot go ahead and transfer Misoras. The Aruch HaShulchan holds that you are allowed to transfer Misoras. So this is a very interesting discussion. I mentioned Rabbi Zivotofsky, and this is Guy Ari, also a fascinating individual, Ari Greenspan. So they went on a whole, project tracing and documenting Misoras. Because basically, what you have is a change. Bismanenu, everything has been commercialized, right? In the olden days, in the shtetls in Europe and in the communities in North Africa and in the Middle East, so you had every village had its own shochet.
Global market,
right? You had it every. You know, you brought your stuff to your shochet and he shachted it for you. Bismanenu, nobody. You don't know them. There's no local shochet. There's like these big slaughterhouses. They do it on an industrial level. And then it gets distributed everywhere. So basically what's being sold commercially is chicken with a smattering of duck. And maybe you can find goose. That's it. So, and turkey, of course, as we just mentioned. Primarily chicken and turkey. So all these old Misoras, especially from Sephardi communities, where they had a wider range of fowl than in Eastern Europe, so they're going to be lost. So they basically went around to all these like old Algerian and Moroccan shochtim and showed them, you know, here, this. Did you have a Misorah about this? Oh yeah, in my village we used to shech that. Boom. Then they'd like, you know, take pictures, video, and the whole thing, you know, document the Misorah. And then they would have these, they arrange some Misora dinners where they'd bring all these things, pheasants and, I don't know, partridge and whatever else. So, you know, in order to preserve. This is nowadays, they do this Bismaneinu. They had it in the first time in 2002.
Really?
That was the first one. So there again, there are some different opinions about some of these things, but they're trying to preserve these Misoras from the various communities that had them. Part of that is the issue of shrotzim. The Torah says, right, that the shrotzim are no good, creepy crawly thingies and insects and the like, but there are some types that are okay, some types of grasshoppers.
Yeah, it has a bad, right? Leg or whatever, the jumping leg.
Right, so there were, of course, as you know, there were some communities where they have, Adayom Hazeh, they had a misora about what was good and what was not good.
But we don't, only certain
right, so again, that was the...
Shetty's Persians.
In China, it's that was the question. Well, you walk down the street, they have fried
chocolate-covered grasshoppers.
If I'm not choosing my luck to have grasshoppers?
So that's part of that question that we discussed, that we mentioned from before. Can you cross, you know, transfer Misoras? So these people are assuming, clearly, that you are allowed to transfer Misoras. There are some Rabbanim who are a little more hesitant about that. Each one, you consult different ones. I remember one time in Yeshiva, there was Sir Rabbi Slifkin wanted to bring in like grasshoppers to eat with the guys. So at that time, I asked Rav Lichtenstein, and now we unfortunately have to say Zatzal. I asked Rav Lichtenstein what he thought. So he didn't seem that concerned about the issue of the transferring Misoras. He said, I wonder if it's Balteshaktsum. Balteshaktsum basically means not to do things that people consider to be disgusting. Where we come from, to eat, you know, grasshoppers,
yeah,
now, admittedly, that is a social thing. It's in different places. They're used to it. They think it's, you know, good. At event.
The grasshopper, yeah. The modern-day grasshopper that we have doesn't fit with the one Sefer HaChinuch described as being the kosher version. And when he talks about Shmoneh Shrotzim,
there are different types of kosher ones. You're saying, okay, I don't know, I'm not up on that.
At least for Ashkenazi, like those Sephardi have Masorah about a certain one.
Sephardi, but they want.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I will point out
grasshoppers with their corn and rice on Pesach. So.
thank you. Not all Sephardim. There's different types of Sephardim.
The Moroccans don't.
Moroccans are half Ashkenazi.
That's why they...
Wait, what? Moroccans are half Ashkenazi?
Well, they have some in Hagim of Ashkenazi, that's why I say that. Like Kitnios, for example.
Oh, they don't eat Kitnios?
I believe that's correct.
Of course, that means my father and my mother don't eat Kitnios.
What's that?
That means that's one custom that my father and my mother both share, then.
There you have it.
Moroccans have the worst of both worlds.
Okay.
So they sleep on for a month, the other Sephardim hate you, and you can't eat Kitnios.
Okay.
It's limbo.
I will mention the following. There is a principle in halacha called Hayotze min atar tar, Hayotze min atame tame. So basically, anything produced by a kosher species is kosher, or by a kosher animal, I should say, is kosher. Anything produced by non-kosher is non-kosher. So for example, the eggs or milk of a kosher bird or a kosher mammal will be kosher, and from a non-kosher will be non-kosher. This is not just an Indian of species. Let's say you had a cow, and the cow was a trefa, which means it had certain, you know, certain internal defects.
So its
milk is trefa also now.
Yeah.
Now, you generally don't know, and since most cows are not trefas, you can assume that some random cow is not a trefa.
It's like 30%.
Whatever it is, whatever the numbers are. So that's how it works with regard to being able to assume that any milk is kosher. Yeah.
They were talking about that they were going to do, because you know that if you shech the cow and then there's another cow inside the cow, then that cow doesn't need shechita.
Yeah.
So they're going to do a whole
herd of
them. Herd, but then they don't want to lose the art of shechita.
Okay. It's a Marisayan issue. A Marisayan problem.
Whole herd of
but then you could have then all meat could be kosher.
Okay, we'll pause here.
Ooh, and, I should, I should, I should.